Our talk today is just going to be on really simple, what do kids want to eat, okay? We decided to actually ask the kids. Radical concept, might find some interesting answers. So we wanted to see why they were eating and why they were not eating. I have no disclosures to make. This research was done by four of my students who are in Masters of Health Administration. We have an ongoing collaboration with Dr. Crumpton, who is right here in the audience with me. And the Cincinnati Public Schools also work with us. So we do research with them every year, kind of free labor thing. You know, you got to get your master's, and you're not getting there unless you do my free labor. We're going to kind of go through this. I'll skip that slide and just kind of jump right into the background. I think everybody in this room, if you're interested in school lunches, knows that, you know, participation is lower than we want it to be. I think it has improved in the last few years, but it's lower than we want to be. And so we want to kind of look at the barriers and promoters of that. And some of the barriers is type of school. Obviously, high schools don't send us to participate as much. Lunch price, is it free or is it reduced? Okay, and if it's reduced, what does it cost? Campus, do we say you can't leave the campus, right? Or do we let you just walk on and off the campus and go to the local 7-Eleven to get some food? What kind of kids are enrolled? Are they poor? Are they rich? Is it, what kind of school district is it? Availability of off-campus food. If you're sitting in the middle of nowhere and there's no McDonald's close by, it's very hard to get anything. Believe it or not, stigma of participation is really quite big. Some schools have actually gone to the point where free and reduced lunch kids have the exact same ID as the people that are paying for it, so that you cannot tell who the free and reduced lunch kids are. For our school district, since 95% are free and reduced, it didn't really matter for us, but that is in some school districts. And then the unhealthy competitive foods. Is the teacher selling cookies out of her room, which has actually occurred, and we've had some counseling to kind of help them come back into the fold. So promoters, make it free. We all love free. How many of us have a pin from the convention center? Okay, we love free. And make it taste better, okay? So this is all the previous research. So our hypothesis was, if we could figure out what kids wanted to eat and why they weren't eating, maybe we could make it better. And we did. So if you want to leave now, you already know what I said. So we started off with, these kids went over and met with the food service director, who is just one of these wonderful, high-energy people who really believe she can change the world, along with the rest of us public health people in here. And so then they met with 10 students and said, okay, this is kind of what we think we want to ask. What do you think? And so they went through that, so a focus group, and then we actually created the survey and validated. I know that's a radical concept. I've had so many unvalidated surveys. We decided to validate it, and so I think we ended up with a pretty good survey. I didn't put all the questions up here because it's one of those slides you can't even read, you know, we try to cram it all into one. But basically we were saying, do you participate? If you don't, or if you do, why? If you don't, why? And if you don't, where else do you go? And then we went through some, hey, what would you like to eat kind of questions. So we distributed this. There was about 2,400 kids at all the three schools that we went to. And we've got about 250 participants at one high school, 122 at another high school, and 163 at a technical center. So of the potential students, we got about 22%, or 535 return surveys. So we just passed these out. My students sat there and passed them out during lunch. It was kind of a shocker. I was glad they got to do this because they went to one of the schools one day, and as they got there, there's 12 police cars out front, and the school's in lockdown for a shooting. So, you know, they were not going to the best areas of Cincinnati, and I think it was actually good. But half females and half males, what a shock. The freshmen participated about twice as much as the seniors. And, you know, thank you, I'm going to get out of here, and I've had enough of this school. And what we found was about 25% of the kids did not participate in school lunch at all, okay? About 43% participated all 5 days, and then a little bit in between for the other one. So 1 to 2 days, 18%, and 3 to 4 days, 39%. Reasons why they participated. Okay, I'm hungry. Okay, that's a pretty good reason to participate. Last time I checked, when I'm hungry, I eat. Fast and easy, good quality food. You know, so these are the reasons. These are the people. This is the 396, or 75% said I do eat. Why do I eat? Well, I'm hungry, it's easy, it's pretty good quality, pretty good environment. All right, But for the 130 that said, I don't eat, okay, the food stinks, I don't like the variety. So, you know, it's kind of like asking people from Canada and the U.S., what do you like about your healthcare systems? It depends on who, whether you're uninsured or sick, depending which thing. Same idea here. If you don't like it, it's probably because it's poor quality and poor variety. Bad environment, and I'm not hungry. So then we said, okay, if you could have the food you want, what vegetable would you eat? If you notice on our last presenter slide, the broccoli was eaten at 100%. So I think our research kind of coordinates with each other, okay, at least based on that one little thing you had there. So broccoli was very popular, but half the kids said they want broccoli. They also said they would like a little sauce with it, okay, followed by carrots and celery. So if you're trying to offer cauliflower, maybe you ought to offer broccoli instead. And most of them wanted it cooked, which was a shock. That was really, we thought that was going to be the opposite, and it might be the opposite in a different area of the country or a different type of school district. So what fruits do you want? Again, you've got options to offer fruits. Offer the fruits that they want, not the fruits that Eddie Hooker likes, okay? So oranges were popular, apples were hot popular, bananas, so you can see they were allowed, obviously, to pick multiple different fruits. So I think I would spit there. And now, again, pears are expensive, so you probably are going to be leaning more towards the oranges and apples anyway, but I think that this kind of tells you what fruits you might want to choose. So if they are not eating, where are they eating? This was interesting. About 68% of them say, I go home, but I eat at home afterwards. I just don't eat at school. The food's so bad. We love to call it the burnt pasta because we have the whole wheat pasta. They go call it the burnt pasta. They don't want to eat it. So they just go home and eat. Some do go out. About 38% of the kids that didn't eat said sometimes they'll go out to, they'll get vending machines, local stores, fast foods, because it's open campuses, okay? So they're going out and eating this. Some just don't eat, okay? And then some bring their lunch. And that's our study that will be presented next year, but we won't go there. We can't telegraph our punch. Students said, you know, if you could give me some more options, basically another side, I might be willing to eat lunch. So we did think that was kind of interesting. And obviously, if it looks like burnt pasta, they're not going to eat it. So you have to start convincing them if you're going to have to serve, which you do by federal law, if you're participating, you have to use the whole wheat, you're going to have to figure out ways to cover it or do something that makes it look more appealing. So almost all of them either said it affected their lot or a little, only a few, not at all. So what happened? We did this. Look what happens. Our use rates go up. What is it, about 35,000 kids in the school district? Or 33,000. So this increase, though it doesn't look like a lot, is about 1,000 kids more a month are eating school lunches. This is based on average every day over the month. We are increasing. That's a lot of kids. Because look what we did. We took this research. A couple of things didn't come from this research. They restructured the labor because, well, maybe it sort of did. They said, hey, listen, if people aren't eating because they can't get through the line, we need to make sure our labor meets our needs. So they reorganized that. They reorganized the central office to train these people how to cook the food correctly, how to serve it correctly, okay? And menu changes. They took the research that was done and said, you know what, let's listen to the kids. Wow, what a radical concept. So let's serve high-quality food. Let's make sure that we use batch cooking so that the broccoli comes out, whether it's covered with a light or not, let's make sure it's actually hot so the kids actually want to eat it. And so we offered increased options on the types of food, more a la carte options, parfaits, personal pizzas. Also, back to your thing, the pizzas were all gone, too, on that. So as long as you're making them with more healthy options, wheat pasta or wheat bread, you can do that. So we made it more like a cafe, and the kids loved it. And that gets back to our previous speaker's talk. You know, you've got, there's a lot of things you can do simple. I mean, McDonald's understands about serving food and getting people to eat it. Well, we need to do sort of the same idea. And so, again, making it more restaurant style with murals and serving lines and kind of cool stuff, and it really made a difference. And again, you know, the proof's in the pudding. We listened to them. We said, what do you want? We changed it based on what they wanted, and now we have more kids eating the lunches. So pretty happy with that thing. So it seems like, in a way, poor quality and poor variety, you know, is part of the reason the kids don't eat. But you know what? We weren't serving them what they wanted. So poor variety is what the kids want. So I think if school districts, and this is a 95% free and reduced lunch, poor inner city school district, okay? Maybe it's a little different at an affluent school district, but in this one, just asking what they had, what they wanted, we made a big difference. And obviously, if you make it look horrible and distasteful, they're probably not going to eat it. So, and I think, go Xavier basketball, beat UConn. No, I'm just kidding. So, can I answer any questions related to this? Yes, ma'am. But the schools we were in was 95%.
Yeah.
That's a recorded statistic. We have that. We know what they're...
The lunch after, they went through the lunch application process.
There's been a lot of work that the school has done to help educate the families that there are more resources for the school in general if they're willing to fill out the free and reduced lunch application. So it's a district push that we do to give high schoolers, and we've seen a pretty dramatic shift, and we jumped just a couple of percent from last year, 72.6% to this year, 74.3%.
I need to kind of repeat what was said because it won't end up in the recorder. The question was, how did you get people to report,
high schoolers
to report what their poverty status is, and what the school has done? Dr. Crumpton was answering, what the school has done is gone to the people and said, listen, do you want more resources? If you want more resources, it's in your best interest to give us this information. And so, again, you make it in their own best interest, people start coming up with that data.
And some student rewards. There were some student rewards at some of the high schools, dress down day as an example of a reward for hitting
right. The
mark.
So offering rewards for people signing up for the free introduced. Another question? Yep. Well, you know, did you see who in the first slides? What did we have? Jessica Shelley, who's in charge of the food lunch. You're going to have to get that person on board, whatever it takes that to get that person. Without it, you're absolutely right. If you can't have the decision maker that can change what's served, don't even bother to find out what they want because you're just wasting their time and yours both. So, good, very good question. So, it really, you have to have the all the people involved. Yes, ma'am. The question is, did they stay in the same budget with the changes in food service? And the answer is yes. So, again, it's, you know, you're picking broccoli instead of cauliflower, but at the same acquisition cost. So that was the big thing. And Jessica, you know, is wonderful. And I believe, please contact me. I'll give you Jessica's name and let your food service person talk to her. She's like the Energizer Bunny. She really believes in this. She believes in kids. She believes in high-quality lunch. And I bet you she could probably win over your food service director. Yes?
So you described really at the end there, it was a major overhaul to the way that the whole system worked in terms of restructuring, moving where labor is, and faster time to get through the lunch line and such. So did that all happen at the same time? You know, so it's awesome that participation rates went up, but is it a function of the whole package or just asking children what it is that they want to eat?
I think it's a whole package, wouldn't you agree, Marilyn? The question was, how did you roll this out? And this was kind of all rolled out all at once. We took the information in, and we rolled out all the changes at one time. So, no, I can't tell you only one thing made a difference. But, you know, Jessica, I think, is totally different than a lot of food service coordinators. She has her MBA. She understands process, and she understands all that stuff. And
there are a lot of
Yeah, and it's wonderful. And I think that, you know, nobody does something because they hate it. Well, some people do, but I think a lot of these people in food service really want to make a difference. And I think if you could take this data back to them and say, hey, listen, maybe we could do this, but I would start with that food service coordinator, because without that person, you're not going anywhere.
Is Jessica self-op or is she management company?
She's self-op with the isn't she city of
district employee
district city of Cincinnati. Cincinnati Public Schools is actually a separate entity, even though it's a city entity. It's its own. It's not part of the city government. Okay, but no, it's not ARA Food Services. So again, and I you know, personal, just a sidebar, my own school district, public school district, which is affluent in Cincinnati, uses ARA services, and they have been very receptive to requested changes and stuff. Again, they want to sell food, and they want to move food, and they want to make the school district happier, or they're going to lose the contract. So I think you can get them to change. Thank you.
Thank you.